Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Well, praise be to God. Here we are again. Welcome, friends. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host for the next hour, and I invite you to join me as we seek a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. All glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a beautiful day today here in the Philadelphia area. Gloriously sunny, pretty warm, and it just lifts your spirits, you know. We had our Wake Up America dinner event yesterday, and everyone was so happy and lighthearted. And it was a lovely day, and I'm sure part of that was, as you would call, a spring fever. Anyway, it was wonderful. But I'd like to start with a little prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the good Lord richly bless our time together today. Amen. Amen. I want to thank everyone who attended the event yesterday, who contributed monies to help the station, who contributed auction items and raffle prizes and everything else under the sun that went on behind the scenes, too, and the staff here, wonderful people. Just want to thank everybody. And, you know, it's funny. We had a table for the broadcasters, and some of the other broadcasters had brought big families, so we couldn't all sit together, but a lot of us were sitting together yesterday. It was delightful. I love getting to know the people that work under the same roof that maybe you don't see very often, so it was really wonderful, and it was just exciting. It was exciting. Kathleen, of course, was there, and a whole lot of people that have known her throughout the years, and priests, and religious, and it was just wow, just wow. If you missed it, I suggest that next year you try to go, and it's always in April, near the end of April, so be listening and try to go. It was only $60 a person, and less than that if you less than double that if you took a spouse or friend, and it was I can't say enough about it. Anyway, we had some good laughs too, which is nice. But I wanted, you know, I was sitting at the table with some of the broadcasters, and I don't remember how it happened, but spiritual warfare came up during our conversations. And as you know, I have spent some time with exorcist priests. I've been to retreats where they taught us, and I've heard things, obviously, and I've studied some things, and I have assisted a priest in his deliverance ministry, and I find it fascinating, because I really do believe in the devil. I mean, I know he's real, in other words. I know that he is. I've seen him work in my life, and I see him working today. And so it was an interesting conversation. And a Monsignor was sitting with us, and I don't want to say who it was, because I don't want to share his name without his permission first. But we were talking about, you know, spiritual warfare and how interesting it is, and how he's had some experiences that prove to him that it's very real, this warfare. And he did share with me that there are people who have come to him, and it's happened to me too, but it was nice to hear that other people have this experience as well. And of course, being a priest, I'm sure he has it more often than me, but he said People come to him and they're distraught. They don't know what's going on. Things are out of kilter in their lives and their families, whatever. And a lot of times he can see that it is spiritual attacks, but they're not aware of it. So they don't know what to do. So I want to share some things with you about spiritual warfare, about the devil, but more importantly about Jesus Christ. But I don't want you to be afraid, and I'm not sharing it to scare you. I'm not sharing it to upset you. I'm sharing it with you to give you hope and to give you the ability to fight evil that's around you and to actually make the world more peaceful, bring peace to the world, and more, just better. Just better. You know, if you don't know what the fruits of the Spirit are, you need to look it up. Go online and search for fruits of the Holy Spirit. And you will see what God brings as opposed to what the evil one brings. You'll get an eye-opening of what is going on around you in the world, because you'll see that the things that aren't fruits of the Spirit that are happening a lot these days are caused by the evil one and by our own selfishness and stuff like that. But it's really the evil one gets to know our personality and he plays on our weaknesses. But if we have the Lord, we have nothing to fear. We have absolutely nothing to fear. But we do need to understand how he works and what is effective against him. So if you will allow me to share some things with you that I have learned, I would be very grateful. I wanted to share an example with you of something that happened to me. And I was absolutely amazed at how it happened. Dan and Stephanie Burke have videos on their website. I think it might have been on spiritualdirection.com, but I'm not sure. But they have videos about spiritual warfare with, you know, family members, friends in general. And this one particular one I listened to probably 4 years ago, maybe three, and they were talking about how the evil one causes real problems with relationships. And it was kind of between spouses, husband and wife. But as I listened to it, I realized it really applies to all relationships, you know, and we can have great joy because we can see what's going on, but we don't have to be afraid, and we have tools. But basically, in this video, they talked about how the evil one stirs up things in relationships and causes problems in relationships. And he's the one that causes a lot of arguments and frustrations and chaos in relationships. And I was listening, and they said, you know, this is how you deal with it. And they gave us a little formula of a prayer to pray and that sort of thing. And I kid you not, 5 minutes after that video went off, while I was pondering, my husband came into the room I was in, and he was angry with me about something. Out of the blue. And it was really strange. It was like nothing we had been talking about or anything, but he was very angry, and he wasn't very nice to me. And that's not like him either. We've been married a long time. We love each other very much. We're best friends. And we haven't had, we've had very few serious arguments. Okay, so this was really out of the blue. And because I'd just seen the video, I said, oh, let me just listen here. And so I listened to him, and I was very calm. Because of the video, I knew what was going on. Not that he was evil, but the evil one was stirring up something. And so anyway, I listened and I responded in an appropriate manner, whatever. I don't remember the real gist of the argument. And he left the room. And I said, wow, you know, what a gift in a way to have this happen right after that video. And so I prayed the little prayer the Burks taught in that video. And then I just sat there doing other things, you know. And I kid you not, 10 minutes later, he came into the room and he apologized to me. He apologized to me. And everything happened so quickly. I knew what I had just learned on that video was true. Was true. There was no doubt in my mind. And so I was very grateful and I thank the Lord for it, but I learned from that. So you can have a lot more peace and a lot more understanding with the help of the Lord. And so I want to share with you some things, but the first thing I want to do is one of the exorcist priests I've seen and listened to and talked with is Father Jose Francesco Sequeia. He is the director of the Archdiocese of Milan, Philippines, Office of Exorcism, and he has a prayer book. It's not available here in the United States. As far as I know, it hasn't been. So unless something changed in the last month, it's not available here. It's a Catholic handbook of deliverance prayers. And so in this book, there are prayers. They point out the difference. Prayers for that priests can use and prayers that the lay people like you and I can use. And this is a prayer that you and I can use. And I want to pray it over the show today. And for you, as well as myself, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, my Lord, my Savior and my God and my all, who through the sacrifice of the cross redeemed us and overcame the power of Satan, I beseech you to free us from every harmful presence and influence of evil. I ask this in your name, Jesus. I ask this for the sake of your wounds. I ask this through your blood. I ask this for the sake of your cross. I ask this through the intercession of Mary, Immaculate and Virgin, Our Lady of Sorrows. May the blood and water which gush forth from your side flow down upon us to purify, free, and heal us. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. All right. So let's see. What I would like to do, now don't forget, this is, you need to know, we all need to know these things, because this is what gives us the ability to fight really well, because the power is God's, not ours. It's a tool he has given us to fight the battle. All right, so fear not. Okay, so I want to share with some scriptures first, and like in Ephesians 6, Saint Paul says, "Put on the armor of God, the armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil." For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, with the evil spirits in the heavens. Okay, one of the things that Burks taught me was, and I have read it since then, some exorcist priests have stated it, is that a lot of times the conflicts that we encounter with others are actually caused by the evil one. It is not them that is the problem, the persons that are the problem. It is the evil spirits who have influenced them, and they may have cooperated with them because of some emotions that they have about a person or you or whatever. And same thing with us. You know, we might have some emotions, preconceived emotions or some wounds or whatever from other people. And the evil one can play on that and really cause us to go off on, a tangent with each other in a way that's not good. So they said, you know, the Burke said, you know, be careful, because a lot of times these arguments and these frustrations are drummed up and also inflamed by the evil one. The evil one cannot read. All the exorcist priests tell us this. The evil ones cannot read your mind, but they observe your actions. They observe your words. And do you go to church or not? What frustrates you the most? What is a weakness that causes you to be angry with yourself or lose confidence or think, well, I've sinned too much that God can't love me? Those are the evil one's tactics. And so we have to know that. We have to know that. But the first thing is that the devil is real. He is real. Ask any exorcist priest. Just look around. For goodness sake, do you really doubt that there isn't unprecedented hatred and anger and chaos and divisions in families and everywhere that is growing more and more each day? Well, it's not hopeless, and it's not out of God's control. And if we use the weapons that God has given us to fight this battle, we will bring tremendous amount of grace into the world, and that grace of God will heal. And we're already seeing it. We're already seeing it. All these people came into or back to the church over the Easter season so far. And last year, the same thing happened. And so we're seeing people waking up to the evil in the world and say it, I don't want that anymore, or I'm going away from that. I want what God wants to give me. So anyway, but the most active work that the evil one does in the world today is try to convince us that he does not exist. I'll say that again. The most active mission of the evil one is to try to convince us that he does not exist, that he's a fairy tale, and those sort of things. And you know what? He's pretty good at it. But you better not listen to him. You better not listen to others that try to tell you that that is a fact, because it isn't. And you'll pay for it if you ignore the fact that he does exist. So in Scripture, in John 10, Jesus himself says that the devil is a thief who comes only to steal, slaughter and kill, and destroy anything good. Okay? Jesus says, I came so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. See the difference? The evil one wants to destroy and kill, and Jesus wants to give life and abundance of beauty to life. So we're seeing what's going on in the world, and so we believers need to step up with our spiritual weapons and assist in bringing healing to the lives of others in the world as well as our own lives. We can do this. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed, because Jesus said, in this world you'll have troubles, but fear not, I have overcome the world. So with his power of that resurrection, this power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can do this. We just need to know how. Okay. Another scripture is, and I'm sharing these with you so that you can know that the devil is real. Okay. Not just by what you're seeing, but what Jesus experienced and said, because he's the main one. In Matthew 4, he says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And it goes on as all these different temptations, but the one I want to share with you is, the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And the devil said to him, all these I will give to you if you prostrate yourself and worship me. At this, Jesus said to him, get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So when he rebuked the devil by resisting, by, you know, saying no, and quoting scripture, the devil left him. This shows the power of speaking God's word out loud. All the exorcist priests say that if you're going to pray against something, or you're going to pray for something, that and you want it to be the most effective prayer, speak it out loud. Because you can pray in your heart, and sometimes we have to pray in our heart because of where we are and what we're doing. But if you can pray your prayers out loud, pray them out loud, because that drives the evil one away. Because he hears those words, he knows where you're coming from, and also those prayers have power. So whenever you can speak out loud your prayers, do that, okay? That's a major weapon. But he quotes in here, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. He's quoting Old Testament scriptures from the book of Deuteronomy. So when we pray scriptures and quote in his face, you know, he leaves us as well, because we are quoting the words of God that are super powerful and effective. So anyway, in Matthew 10, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill your soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both your soul and your body in Gehenna. In other words, you know, you'll spend eternity with the evil one. You don't want to do that. And then in John 8, Jesus said to them, here he's rebuking the leaders and some of the people around him. In John 8, he says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and am here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Because you cannot bear to hear my word. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You belong to your father, the devil, and you willingly carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks in character, because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. He's warning us there that sometimes the evil lies and the evil things going on around us sound and feel more like truth than the truth. And in this day and age, we see a lot of that happening. Who believes hardly anything you see online or hear on the news or anything anymore? You know, some gullible people take it as fact, whatever they hear, good or bad, without stepping back a little bit and discerning some. You know, a lot of times it's better not to even like listen to that hate speech, because first of all, I can't do anything about it in the public square, other than maybe write some letters to, you know, the stations and the politicians and the bishops, whoever is aggravating you. But don't get in arguments with people. That it's, you know, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. But using the spiritual weapons, which I'm going to share with you in the second half hour, are tremendously effective. And then in Revelations 12, it says, the Blessed Mother who gave birth to the Savior. The dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. So the woman in Revelations is the Blessed Mother, Jesus' mother. It talks about she gave birth to the Messiah, to the Savior, and he went up to be with his Father in heaven. But then the dragon became angry with the woman. There's a lot of reasons why he can't stand her. First of all, he is an angelic being, and she is a human being. And we are human beings. And when we have the power of God living in us, and when we have humility and have God on our side, the evil one can't stand it. And he really hates her because she gave birth to the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who saves us. And he wants us to perish. So the dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. That's us, folks. Wage war. We are in a spiritual war. The Catechism says in paragraph number 2852, Satan, or the devil, is a murderer from the beginning, from the very beginning, a liar and the father of lies. Satan is the deceiver of the whole world. Through him, sin and death entered the world, and by his definitive defeat, all creation will be freed from the corruption of sin and death. Through him, sin and death entered the world and still continues. Whenever we give in to sin, into temptations and sin, we are giving in to him. We're either giving in to the Lord or we're giving in to the evil one. Okay, I have to take a break. And I ask you, please, stay with me. This is too important not to learn about these things for your own good and for the good of the world. Okay, so I have to take a break, and I will be back in just a minute. Stay with me.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2900.
Hello, hello. I'm Rita Halk Lane. Welcome back. I'm your host for the next half hour. I've been sharing in the past half hour about spiritual warfare and about our wonderful Wake Up America event yesterday. And I invite you to stay with me. In the last half hour, I talked about the evil one is real, but I don't want to share with you anything about him or about his tactics to scare you. It's just that we, believe it or not, the believers in Jesus Christ are the ones who are called to stand in the gap and fight that battle, not to be scared, not to give in to what he tries to trick us with, but to stand strong. And the closer we are to Jesus, the stronger we are, and the more effective our, our efforts. You know, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It should give us a certain amount of joy. You know, I told you before that Father Blunt, who most of you know who he is, he's an exorcist priest, and he said that when they go to Rome at least once a year for a conference for the exorcist priests, and they're the happiest priests in the world, he says, because they have battled Satan and seen how weak he really truly is when you fight him with God's weapons. And that's what I'd like to share with you today in this half hour. But I want to also share a little bit more from the notes that I have here. St. John Chrysostom, I have to make an announcement first. I'm sorry. On Thursday, May 7th, is the National Day of Prayer. And so we are asking you to join in. And that it's, you know, all people are invited in the United States to pray on that day for our country and for everything that's important in our country. Our churches, our schools, our hospitals, our first responders, our own faith, you know, everything that's involved in the making, our politicians, obviously, everything, farmers, you name it, to pray for everything that's involved in our country, that for neighbors and nation. Prayer and worship is going to be going on at Rose Tree Park in Media, PA, if you can get over there. Otherwise, there's a lot of things online, and plus you can get your friends and family together and pray for our nation on that day. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I am there present with them in a very special way. He's always there. But when we take out the time to sacrifice and go pray together, or worship together, extraordinary things happen. So let's observe Thursday, May 7th, for the National Day of Prayer. And if you can go to Rose Tree Park in Media, it's at 11:30 a.m. Okay, maybe you can take an early lunch or something. Okay? So I've been there many, many times. And also, if you're interested, tonight at my parish, at St. Pius X in Broomall, Pennsylvania, we're having a Mass in honor of St. Peregrine. St. Peregrine is the patron saint of those with cancer and other life-threatening illnesses. So join us for Mass, prayers, and the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. It's at 7 o'clock tonight at St. Pius X in Broomall, Pennsylvania. Miracles do happen at those healing masses. So if you can, hurry on over there if you need any kind of healing. Okay, so St. John Chrysostom, this is a quote of his. If we are at war with the devil, we are at peace with God. In other words, to do war with the devil brings peace to us. Okay? And then another scripture says, if God be for us, if God is for us, who can be against us? He is the mighty one. He's the eternal one. He has all the power. The evil one does not. And we, united with him, have tremendous power. But it's all from him. All we need to do is agree to be vessels and say, Lord, use me to fight these spiritual battles. Okay? Papa John Paul II used to say the battle is ongoing, but evil always destroys itself. It feeds on itself. When it gets frustrated and angry, it feeds on itself. So don't worry. You're on the right side. In Matthew 13, Jesus is talking to some people that refuse to listen and learn from him. And I'm going to quote this because I don't want this to be me. And I ask you, don't let this be you. Or I ask you to take that as don't let this be you. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. In other words, if you close your ears to the truth and you close your eyes to what you can see and don't listen, it's just going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible. He's offering understanding. He's offering you limitless love and wisdom and direction and all the good things of life and healing. There's mind, body, and soul, y'all. Mind, body, and soul. We all need healing somewhere, and sometimes in multiple ways. So he says right here, if you see with your eyes and hear with your ears and understand with your heart and are converted, I can heal you. But he can't heal a hard-hearted person who refuses to listen, to see, and to understand. And he talked in the other thing about, you won't even listen to my words. You won't listen to my words. Be careful, folks. Do not cancel out the holy scriptures of God in the Bible. You might not believe that they're holy scriptures from God, but they are. And those of us who have listened and said yes to them, he has revealed to us that understanding. He has converted us. He has healed us in many ways. And that's how we know that it's real and that it is from God. We've seen it. We've experienced it. And we really want you to do that too. We want everyone to share in that great truth of how much he loves you. So anyway, one of the things I wrote here was many of us don't like the thought or reality of war or battling. Yet scripture often mentions spiritual warfare and physical wars. War is a part of life. There's physical wars, there's spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare goes on 24/7. 365 and a quarter days a year. So we have to be prepared. We have to stand up and do what we can and leave the rest to the Lord. So I want to share with you an article. It's how to win the battles in spiritual warfare. And at the beginning of it, it's from Joseph Pronichen. He is a author and writer for the National Catholic Register. There's a lot, and he knows a lot of exorcist priests, and he has worked with them as well as other priests on this subject. So I want to share some of the things that he wrote in this article, because the weapons are mentioned in here. And so he starts out, take up the whole armor of God, says Ephesians 6:13, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. The armor of God makes us strong. And perhaps next week, or when I'm on again, I will share with you about the armor of God. Okay? But again, spiritual warfare for us Christians is all about defeating the power of evil, or at least diminishing it, and bringing peace back to our lives and the world. Order out of chaos. So remember that. It's a good thing Nothing to be afraid of. Put on your armor, folks. Okay? Anyway, he says, spiritual warfare is a battle. It is no surprise that the church on earth is known as the church militant. Did you know that? The church militant. The church always in battle. Okay, against evil. St. Paul knew it. Teaching the Ephesians, he compared the struggle to how Christians should adapt the example of a Roman military legion's uniforms and weapons for battling against spiritual evil. He knew that the people of the time would understand armor in a spiritual way because they were surrounded by Roman military and police and all that sort of thing. So they could relate to that. And he wanted us to understand that we are in a battle. And so therefore we have to have armor and we have to have weapons. So he says, he did not believers go into this warfare unprepared and unarmed. Neither must Catholics. They can be, or Christian, Catholic Christians, all Christians, they can be constant victors in spiritual warfare if they know how to engage the enemy. Among those showing the winning way are two former military men, Dan Schneider, an adjunct theology professor at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and a U.S. Army attack helicopter and a U.S. Army attack helicopter pilot and Gulf War veteran, and Jason Hendo Henderson, a retired U.S. Navy SEAL Master Chief, whose perspective is backed by Catholic priests. Both men draw on the military approach with good reason. Schneider explains that Jesus delivers the Gerasene demoniac, whose name is Legion. So you're up against a legion. We are up against a legion. At the time of Christ, the Roman legion would be 6,000 heavy infantry fighters. But we're talking about spiritual combat now. As St. Paul says, not with flesh and blood, but with the powers and principalities of this earth. Marian Father Chris Alar, we know him. He's the he is the host of EWTN's Living Divine Mercy, and he's one of the fathers with the Mercy Fathers up in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and he says this realization is vital for us. The best, and he quotes, this best thing we can do is to know our enemy, how he acts and what he does, Father Alar said. Our enemy is not each other. This is exactly what Dan and Stephanie Burke had said. Our enemy is not each other. It's not the flesh and blood. It's powers and principalities that Paul tells us about. Those powers and principalities are our enemy, not the people around us. Thus, we need a military approach. Schneider cites Paul telling Timothy, bear your share of the hardship of the gospel for me as a good soldier of Christ. Part of soldiering is bearing your share of the hardship, the work of being in a war. The word he uses in Greek is a word for interior goodness. So we soldier with purity, with virtue, and with Christian values. We're in a battle greater than any world war. I'm going to quote that again. We are in a battle greater than any world war, Schneider continues. Satan hates mankind because they were the reason for his fall. And throughout history, Satan has used our weaknesses. So next thing you have to do is not only be in a state of grace, but you've got to believe in the tenets of the faith. You have to be faithful to what God has told us and revealed to us and has asked us to do and be. God only puts levels of combat on us that we can handle, Henderson stresses. We just have to have faith that we will rise to the occasion. Our saints and exorcists have already done the work. We just need to employ these tactics, techniques, and procedures in our own lives. See? Once we know what we're up against, which is part of what we'll be talking about today, the saints and the exorcists have told us, here are your weapons. Okay? Because we need them to fight for our own salvation and for the needs of the world, but also for everything, because the evil one does involve in everything. So anyway, the article goes on to say, Father Alar also emphasizes the first thing we have to do is be in a state of grace. That is number one. Turning to fathers as one example, Henderson explains, if we are not in a constant state of grace, then we leave our families vulnerable. Henderson links the battlefield analogy to vital questions. What is the enemy thinking? And how can I counter ensure that their agenda doesn't get met? And so the first thing we have to do is be in a state of grace. That's number one. A state of grace means that we have gone to confession regularly. We have asked the Lord to help us turn away from our sins and stand and fight those temptations with His help. And when we sin, and especially if it's a mortal sin, serious sin, which has usually something to do with the Ten Commandments, then we have to confess that and mean it. Not just say it, mean it, and obtain the grace from confession to fight it and to stay as pure and virtuous as we can and live in Christian values. So the number one thing that we have to do is be in a state of grace. So it says this, spiritual warfare is of great interest right now. People are recognizing there's been an increase of unexplainable evil in the world, points out Schneider. But this is not new to Catholics. First of all, everyone sees that things are messed up. What the problem is they don't realize who's stirring the pot, who's planting the seeds, who's doing all this chaos and drumming up hatred and anxiety. But this is nothing new to Catholics. In the Catechism in paragraph 409, he says, from the garden, the very beginning, in Eden, we see humanity at war, in conflict with an eternal enemy. From the very garden, we have seen humanity at war, in conflict with an eternal enemy. Catechism, paragraph 409. Henderson, the founder of and CEO of North Star Group, a Catholic ministry working with combat veterans and first responders on spiritual and moral challenges, has seen both profound evil and great goodness under extreme conditions. Experiences that cultivated his interest in spiritual warfare and helped him to fully commit to the war, as he puts it, spiritual war. He adds that this spiritual war runs throughout history, but we ignored it to focus on self-gratification. The world's cultures celebrate evil, and we are rapidly spiraling towards our own demise. We need to collectively resist. It's important for Catholics to recognize that there is a battle taking place. All Christians, not just Catholic Christians, Schneider notes, with combat inevitable. According to the Church's teachings and what we've seen, we have to learn, what are the rules of engagement with this enemy? How do we safely and effectively fight as Catholic Christians with the tools and the weapons that the Lord, through the Church, has given us? This is why we need confession as we start to progress through these spiritual attacks. Father Alar adds and underscores the sacraments. Confession is more powerful than an exorcism because confession is a sacrament. Exorcism is a sacramental. Confession is given to us by Jesus Christ Himself, and He is fully present in the confessional with us. through the priest in persona Christi. The priest is standing in for Jesus. Okay. Exorcism is similar, but it's not the same. Confession is your power, a powerful weapon that is the first step towards having power against the enemy. Schneider emphasizes our strength comes from Christ through the sacraments, virtues, purity of thought, word, and deed. He stresses staying focused on Jesus Christ and living out our baptismal dignity. While through baptism, our sins are forgiven, they're washed away, and we become children of God. We obtain the Holy Spirit and special graces to help us in our lives. And so we are connected with Jesus Christ and God our Father through the Holy Spirit. So we live out our baptismal dignity as true children of the Most High God. And he goes on to say we have to be grounded in the truth, orthodoxy, and right thinking and right practice. We have to get our right understanding and right living of the church's teaching on sexual ethics. Important for spiritual combat is seeing, living, and practicing what the church teaches, because what the church teaches is what Jesus taught. You may not understand that, but I do want to recommend that you buy a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. See this book here, those of you who are on Facebook? Within this book, there's an explanation of what the church, what Jesus has taught us through the church, and it's all tied to Scripture, even though you may not realize that it is. But that, what I love about it is it teaches us why. Why does Jesus say this to us? Why does the church encourage us to do these things? We need to understand the whys, not just what. Okay? So, and going on, so please, even if you're not Catholic, I'm telling you, it's extremely helpful for all Christians to read this. To read it, really. And don't read it from cover to cover. Pick a subject. Pick a subject. And look it up, okay? And then learn from it. Trust me, you will get a lot out of it, even if you're not Catholic. Okay, so it says, important for spiritual combat is seeing, living, and practicing what the church teaches. That includes countering the seven deadly sins with the seven capital virtues. Pride is countered by, in other words, for an example, pride is countered by being more of a servant instead of self-serving, instead of selfishness. Give of yourself. Okay. Regular confession and a life ordered to prayer, penance, and sacrifice are the ordinary means of our sanctification, our becoming holy. Praying, sacrificing, doing penance, praying for people in their stead, etc., etc. Prayer and fasting are crucial. They're mentioned all throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament. We have to start engaging with our bodies. These are our spiritual armaments, our defensive weapons for combat. These are the ancient weapons. We find an ancient enemy, and the ancient weapons are the best. So we've got prayer. We've got confession. We have prayer and fasting, we have confession, etc. Father Alar says the most important prayer is the Mass. He also emphasizes fasting, which breaks the control of the flesh over the spirit. You gain control of your body. You gain control of worries and everything. So the Mass is the most important because, and fasting, of course, has something to do with Mass, because it breaks the control of the flesh over the spirit. Jesus says that fasting removes even the worst demons. Marian devotion also has a central place in the fray. As Father Alar emphasizes, Mary and Divine Mercy are the spiritual weapons of our time. You may not realize that, but there's a huge, huge movement towards the Divine Mercy message and chaplet, and also towards the Blessed Mother, because in Scripture, in the Revelations, the evil one does battle with her and does battle with us. So she's important. We need to have Marian devotion and consecration to the Blessed Mother. It's absolutely critical in spiritual combat. She is our protective armor. Under her mantle we live. Father Aylar adds that devotion to Mary is essential because St. Louis de Montfort wrote in True Devotion to Mary, Satan fears Mary more than anything because her prayers are so powerful. And it goes on, continuing the military analogy, he calls the brown scapular the dog tag for the Christian soldier. He also talks about, if you don't know what the brown scapular is, search for it online and find out what it is and get yourself one and have the prayers prayed over you by a priest and wear it. Crucial, too, is the rosary. Padre Pio asked a young friar to bring my weapon to me. Give me my rosary. When the Blessed Mother gave the rosary to Saint Dominic, she called it a battering ram. So the rosary is an offensive weapon. It is a weapon. Every Catholic should be praying at least one rosary a day. And believe it or not, a lot of non-Catholic Christians are now set praying the rosary because it's really the gospel in a prayer. Okay? So when we pray the rosary, it's like having a machine gun against the evil one. Cities have been saved. Wars have ended. Instantly, because leaders have called people to pray the rosary, and they have, and there are many, many things. Healings, spiritual battles have been healed as a result of the rosary. There is no need to fear in this combat. Armed with heavenly weapons, the faithful can be victorious Christian soldiers. And Schneider ends his article with, "We stand under a queen," because Mary is our queen, "who is a 12-star general, and Saint Michael, her chief commander of the heavenly hosts." We are protected. We are given weapons. And I'll talk more about that in the future. I just don't have time now. Unfortunately, I have to go. I hope this has been helpful to you. I hope you realize we don't have to fear what's going on out there. Instead of focusing on that, focus on the Lord and pray and fast and try to be holy witnesses in the world today. God bless you. Please pray for us. We're praying for you. And until next time, see you later. God bless you richly. Thank you.